Hi, everybody. Welcome to Domain Sherpin. Thank you for tuning into the podcast with the best domain name and digital asset content in the world. Today's episode is a Sherpa short titled Effective Accelerationism, where Drew and I are joined by the one and only Yanni Belisov of Link Freedom Group, aka LFG, with a follow-up from last week's show. As we're in the thick of the new GTLD round, it's clearly a hot topic, so we're going to stay on it for today's show, where we talk about the importance of branding and digital sovereignty and how that makes domains more critical than ever, and how that will continue to be the case well into the future. We also talk about the idea of effective accelerationism and how that's played into LFG's strategy during this new GTLD round. We also get into some additional details about their applications, their approach, and even some strings that they either considered or feel like they missed out on this time around. All that and more is coming up on today's show. And remember, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can also watch the video version at domainsherpa.com and on our YouTube channel at ds.tv. You can also listen to the shows on Apple and Spotify and other podcast platforms as well. So please make sure to hit the like button and the subscribe button where you can and help Domain Sherpa grow the pie. We also integrate our shows with skiv.com, which provides search functionality for the shows and transcripts as well. And now, shout outs to our sponsors. First, we've got Unstoppable Domains. Unstoppable is the ICANN accredited registrar, giving domainers powerful tools and the lowest pricing in the industry. Get $7.99.com back orders, expired auctions, and tech you can't get anywhere else, like AI search, AI outbounding, and their new AI site builder. They're a one-stop shop for managing costs and boosting sales. And also, big shout out to Appraise.net. Appraise.net gives you instant AI-powered domain appraisals, a retail price range, plus the reasoning behind it. Strengths, weaknesses, best use case, and the likely buyer profile for every name. Whether you're buying, selling, or pricing your portfolio, know what your domains are really worth. Claim your first month special at appraise.net/domainsherpa. And also, big shout out to DNX.com. DNX is the domain name intelligence platform featuring all-in-one search results from the top marketplaces, including GoDaddy, Cedo, and Atom. DNX is the most advanced way to find and acquire your domain name, so go to DNX.com today. And big shout out to NameBio. Know what domains are really worth before you buy or sell. NameBio.com gives you searchable access to more than $3 billion in historical domain sales, so you can find comps, spot trends, and make smarter decisions. If you buy or sell domains, NameBio.com is where you check the comps. And last but not least, big shout out to our own business, Media Options, the number one domain brokerage in the world. Find out more at MediaOptions.com, where you can also sign up for our newsletter for the best domain opportunities available in the market every week, and also featuring key insights and other helpful information related to branding, naming, and domain investing. And finally, we have NamesCon 2026 taking place November 11th and 12th in Miami. NamesCon Global brings together domain investors, registrars, registries, and digital entrepreneurs to explore the technologies and trends reshaping the online world. So get to namescon.com for more information and to register. So with all that, it's now time to get into this episode of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. LFG. What's up, Sherpa Network? Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Jonathan Tenenbaum, a.k.a. JT, a.k.a. J On, a.k.a. Sherpa Winfrey, and I'm the host and producer of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Today's show is a Sherpa short, as you know, where we take a domain topic or an article or something newsworthy, we dig into it, we get busy, and you know, it's something that's very interesting to us and hopefully interesting to you. So today, kind of piggybacking off of one of the most important and exciting topics in the entire domain space, is the new GTLD round. And we have the one and only Yanni Belisov, founder of the Link Freedom Group, LFG. But I'm gonna introduce him in a second. First, let me go ahead over to my left and introduce my boy Andrew Rosner, my co-host, aka Morpheus, aka the Dirk Diggler of Digital Assets, aka Bobby Swagger the Sniper, aka Drew. Drew got what I need, aka every Rosner has his thorn, aka never gonna give Drew up. Get Rickrolled by Greybeard, the domain pirate. What up, dude?
Sup? All good. I'm getting a little anxious, ready to get back on the saddle, full steam ahead. And otherwise, all good.
All right. Well, let me keep it moving, because like I said, we've got Yanni on the show. We had Vaughn and Dan of LFG on the show last week, and the response was excellent. And, you know, everybody, the audience, the people are very, very excited. What's that?
Community favor. episode.
Yeah, for sure. So we said, well, look, we're going to not only double down, but we're going to bring the boss on the show today. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we're doing. So with no further ado, the one and only Yanni Belousov, a.k.a. Young Money, a.k.a. Blue Steel, a.k.a. Wolverine, a.k.a. Yanni Depp, a.k.a. Yanni Belousov, the Hook, a.k.a. Yanni Belousov, the Chain. What's up, dude? How are you?
I'm great. Very busy, as you could tell.
Oh, yeah.
Doing great.
Yeah. And a little bit, you were kind of choppy there a little. We're going to work with your internet. We had that with Braden a couple weeks ago where he was kind of in and out, but we'll make it work. And so for those of you who don't know, Yoni is literally an OG in the space, a longtime domain investor, been doing this for a long, long time. And then they bought .link, the .link registry, and have done some amazing things with that. And then that has now segued into this longer term plan that they've had in the works for years, which is the application of all these new GTLDs as part of the new GTLD round, founding the Link Freedom Group, aka LFG. And you guys came out the gate really, really strong, announcing your applications ahead of everybody else and like really kind of planting that flag, or as the way that Vaughn described it, you know, blowing the horn coming into the harbor. Yep. And man. And, you know, again, we've got really great feedback from the show, and people are just, you know, and also offline, this is a conversation now that's happening now that the first round of the application deadline has passed. Now people are announcing. Now there's all this conversation around strategy and tactics and all this kind of stuff. So it's, front of mind for a lot of people, and a lot of people are really, really interested and really, really in. So this comes around once a decade in the domain space, this wave. And now we are right at the kind of as it's cresting, and, there's a lot more to come, but a lot to talk about. So so why don't we just jump right off the bat? Like, why don't you give us sort of your, kind of take on, the approach and some of sort of what brought us here to this point right now.
Yes. So, I had already the plan evolved over time, but the reality is I kind of knew the volume of strings that's going to need to make it happen. I mean, obviously, we're talking about the 200 number before. That was exactly the approximate number of strings we were going for. But obviously, lots of things changed since last time. First of all, the most basic point, actually, is the fact that all the strings that got introduced last time, they're no longer available, meaning that you're effectively working with the scraps to begin with. So this is just, I think, the first consideration. The second is that, on a personal level, I was a little bit disappointed that a lot of strings didn't turn out last time, meaning that there's a lot of good combinations. Look at Hub, look at the API, and we're talking about before all the crypto names and whatever. These things should have happened last time, so I was very surprised that it didn't. Mm-hmm. So I decided that, this time we're going to make sure that, no stone is left unturned. And, because that's, to be fair, that's also my specialty. Usually, in our domain investment business, we buy portfolios. So, this is pretty much the same approach, but on a TLD basis. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, there's obviously a lot of new things happening. There is the crypto industry, AI industry, lots of new tech terms and so on. Okay, and then there's also lots of other limitations, obviously, the plural singular limitations. Last time you could do whatever you want in terms of that. And at the same time.
Meaning we had dot lawyer and dot lawyers. We had dot.
Alto is car cars.
Yeah.
There's a lot of these. This time, apparently this is a no-go. And at the same time, obviously the biggest change was the whole auction. For-profit auction setup is no longer possible this round.
Yeah.
Now, at the same time, they also changed the rules. So originally, when we made the announcement, I didn't mind that, you couldn't have for-profit auctions because we're in it to operate the TLD. So the profit doesn't really mean much to me. I'll just take it and plow it right back into the business. So I thought we actually would be able to do some sort of deals once, you know, once revealed who applies for what. Because, you know, let's say we're applying for something. I mean, even that Gram is a good example. Actually, you had us applying, Telegram applying. We didn't know they were going to apply. So now that they applied, it would have been great if we could work out some sort of deal. And ever since ICANN has changed that, actually the dynamic has changed a little bit from the perspective of, effectively, I'm trying to find the game theory maximizing position that would give us, in a way, the most results for the same amount of capital. Mm-hmm. So, you know, looking at the terms, we effectively identified the whole aspect of first primary string and secondary string, meaning first option, second option. And then we kind of thought about Klee. This actually means you can get two strings in for every application, meaning that if you just, let's say, if you wanted to apply for 100 strings and you just split it across 50 applications, it's not really the same thing as targeting specific applications to have one specific primary and one specific secondary. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by this is that effectively, on average, it would play out as a strong primary string that you expect contention on, and weaker secondary string that you don't expect contention on. Now, this varies a lot, and also we have, in a way, more sophisticated game theory playing into it, meaning that, for example, we would never have primary and secondary be from the same industry, meaning that if we, so for example, if this, we decide to go more heavily into crypto, for example, we don't want to have the primary and secondary be crypto strings because that means we only can pick one of them. So there is a lot of thought process that we can kind of almost like diagonally pick all the specific industry ones that we want. And that was kind of typically our thought process, that if we, from the get-go, end up with a bunch of pairs that work together, primary and secondary, this is the equivalent of being able to submit two strings with every application.
Quick right, question.
So, yep.
Were you able to... Are people able to default to their secondary string, their backup string, even if their first string was not contested?
Yes.
Ah, so you really have...
Yeah, exactly.
You really have, if you have optionality.
Yes. Yes. Oh, wow. So the catch is that you can only pick one of them, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
But
of course.
Nonetheless, given, especially if you expect contention, which is really all the what the conversation is about,
yeah,
you're guaranteed contention, and hence that gives you way more optionality. And so, in other words, I think, I mean, based on how everyone else announced the idea, I only then I realized that nobody even really took it seriously into account. Like, it's kind of like everybody announced their primaries, and the secondary is kind of like whatever almost, even though I think this is, you know, just as important of a decision, and especially which pairs are, which primary is paired with which secondary.
So,
yeah, with I, the mean, I have you- to say, I really, I am picking myself because, you know, I regretted because I completely took the wrong perspective in the first round. And so I looked at it from a domain investor perspective and not from a registry perspective. And that was really stupid and I regretted it. So I intended to participate in this round. And then this round came around and I had many conversations with you and with other people who all seemed very serious. And so I thought, okay, you know what? We thought about maybe with you guys, maybe doing one or two strings and, you know, but I wasn't taking it too seriously in the end because it sounded like there was going to be real big players who were really competitive, really going for a large number of strings. And I thought we're going to have 2,000 to 3,000 strings applications. And that's not what happened at all, because exactly what you just said, in the end, I think people really like it was amateur hour. Nobody really understood the rules. Nobody really applied game theory to the rules. Nobody really thought about the whole fallback rule set or whatever you want to say with the contentions. And in the end, I think we were going to get to it, but it's like, I think we might end up in a situation where everybody started thinking like me, like, oh, it's going to be too competitive. And in the end, we might end up in a position where some of the best strings, either somebody's going to walk away with it uncontested, or there might even be some that nobody applied for. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and it's very bothersome because effectively to us, we're obviously taking it very seriously.
Yeah.
And then you have all these other players that are like, oh, we're going to apply for crypto, wallet, agent. We're going to win it for sure. And multiple entities saying that. And unfortunately, we effectively took the assumption that everybody's playing it from our perspective. And it turned out completely wrong. So then I was like, oh.
In some of those other companies. I also took it from that perspective.
Yeah. So then this is very disappointing. I mean, let me tell you something. We're not going to make that mistake again. Effectively, yeah. What we're going to do is once, the reveal happens, we're going to make our choices during that 2-week period. And we don't really care what everybody else does. We're going to go hardcore for the ones we're going for.
Yeah.
It's silly to take other players into account in this game theory because they're not
taking it seriously. It always is. In the end, it always is.
So for example, effectively our strategy became almost like optimizing for the number of choices, meaning that number of streams, and then used the excess capital that we've saved to go more seriously for the streams that we want in the auctions. So really, personally, I'm effectively committing 9 figures into this. And yeah. I have specific ones that I want to get for specific reasons. I mean, you can guess which ones for what reasons, obviously. I mean, we have a lot of them, but it seems like people are not serious enough.
Yeah,
to make it happen otherwise.
I agree.
For example, frankly, this was actually the application period was the biggest unknown because what the biggest risk for me. It's not actually even about, it was actually purely the number of applications. Because obviously more applications means more contention. More contention means more players in the auction setup. And really, let's say, if I knew the number of applications is going to turn out to be this, I would probably apply for maybe 50 more applications. Just because at the end of the day, I didn't really want to fight for the long tail ones.
Yeah.
But it appears to be that not only I wouldn't have to fight it, but lots of other people didn't really think it through because there's a lot of, just based on what everyone else picked, I can see how they even picked it because we had like a macro strategy that was all encompassing. It's not that impressive for me. Like, so for example, I would base, and also I, you know, this mistake is not going to happen again in terms of being kind of like, oh, I don't want to play in the ultra competitive ones, which is again, agent, crypto, wallet, and even stuff like, I mean, look, we also even had like MCP that we passed on. So that's actually kind of like, AI kind of guy.
It now looks like MCP servers may even not be central to.
Well, this is why. So let me even go back a little bit again in terms of how we even. We're picking strings. So effectively, I looked at the data of the previous round and based on terms of what's successful, obviously successful from our point, we really only have the visibility of the DUMs. So it's not that interesting because really,
those are really the two.
Yes, but
success can be measured.
But we don't know what it takes.
Management and pricing, because if you have one-third DUMs, but three times the price, then it's the same level of success as the guy that's got three times the number of registrations. So those are the two levers, pricing.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then the third lever is premiums.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah. And this is a whole other thing. So from my perspective, I'm actually looking at it more like, it's almost like take into account. Okay. It's also, I don't know how everyone else is doing because some of the TLDs are just, really, really bad, but I think the problem is that people are looking at the TLD as if that's the domain name. Let's say you get Andrew Rosner. That's not the domain name. Like even you as a TLD holder, if people type it in, nothing happens. You need the SLD part. So the only thing that matters are the resulting SLD domains and how many good ones you can get out of them. Like, by good ones, I'm talking about you really almost need a market cap of all the good SLDs together in terms of, and by good, I'm not talking about like how good is it for necessarily for resale, but just even would Apple.API, would Apple want it, for example? Yes. And I think the answer is yes. Like, these are kind of like, you know, even people's brands, generics, doesn't really matter. Like, you need to think about like this, you know, like a lot of these TLDs, they're actually okay on surface level. But the moment that you think about like, well, what's the resulting good domain? It's tough. Like, you know, and I don't want to, you know, point to specific registries or whatever, you know, because, you know, we're kind of yelling all of us anyways, but you know, it is what it is. So effectively, we're kind of started looking at it from that perspective. And then there's a bunch of different trends. So first of all, obviously, the shorter, the better. So 3 characters and not 3 characters, letters only, obviously. So really, I mean, we literally just took all the 17,000 whatever, and we literally just started the process of elimination. Eliminating all of those that already applied for before. Eliminate all the ones that are not possible to apply for because, let's say, it's a 3-letter country code or whatever other restricted terms. And then we slowly started eliminating, and then we really effectively had the full list, and then eliminate, let's say, the bottom 80% because it's complete junk. And from there, you can already pick. So that was kind of like the number one priority because, again, if you look at the top, and let's just look at DUMs for now, at the top TLDs, it's pretty much everything short. I mean, you know, like you pretty much don't see anything longer than five letters, but really 3 is the sweet spot.
4. Yeah.
Yeah. And let's get real. I mean, the thing is, at some point, any 3 letters, especially good ones, especially ones that are all encompassing, not taking into account new tail that will come up, these are all going to be gone at some point, almost like kind of like 3 letters in whatever TLD. Yeah. So, and hence you want to really secure the best ones because I think it's much tougher to compete on those because once you go, let's say 4 letters, just the number of words you can have in 4 letters, it's huge.
Yeah.
So in other words,
from let's say 17,000 to 600 or 700,000.
Yeah. So for example, you know, so I mean, obviously everybody's seen the full list that we have, but in terms of, let's say, just looking at the primaries, something like 40, I don't remember the number, something like between 42 to 45% of our applications all had 3 letters. Mm-hmm. And then something like 25%, 4 letters, and then 5 letters, like pretty much anything above 5 letters, up to 5 letters was pretty much 85, 90% of our applications.
Except for it is what it is. The dot.
Yeah, so it is what it is. Was an interesting one. So that one was actually started as a joke. So that one was effectively, you know, we're trying to think of like, okay, well, I'm literally just doing whatever methodology to get to the best possible TLDs that would work well with kind of like an SLD part of the TLD.
Yeah.
So we're thinking about, okay, well, technically, if we figure out the worst TLD, then we're going to be the best ones from the bottom for that one. You see, so pretty much we're like, because the worst one is always gets talked about. So in other words, but it can't be like just mildly worse because, you know, there's a lot of them as is. It has to be definitely the worst one that nobody's going to be able to outcompete it. So effectively, there was never a successful 2-letter and 2-word TLD before. So then we're like, okay, well, how long could we possibly make it? So then I think like, it is what it is, you know, 5 words. We're like, there's no way anybody's going to go for more than that, you know, and at the same time, it's kind of funny. I mean, you know, we still, to be fair, I'm not sure if we're going to go for it or not. It still depends on the feedback. This is also, by the way, why we wanted to reveal ahead of time. So we get both negative and positive feedback, like, oh, this one is great. This one sucks. We want to know that.
Yeah.
So. But unironically, we might get beat by some of these people who are unironically applying for these TLDs that they think are great, because somehow it is what it is. It's not even the worst one, and I'm not sure even what that even means about the industry or whatever. But we might not be able to go with it because of this. I'm not sure. We'll see how much feedback we end up getting. But yeah,
you can only go for it if it's the worst one, and it unfortunately is not the worst one. All right, so I have a quick question.
So I noticed nobody so far, at least, has applied for .u, Y-O-U. And that was one
that... Y-O-U already exists.
It does?
I would have... Yeah, Amazon, I think, owns it. Or Google or some of those.
So it hasn't rolled out yet. It's one of those ones that Amazon still hasn't rolled out.
Yeah.
Okay.
So quick question. So the applications that you guys published that you had, the TLDs that you'd applied for, are they all your first choice, or they include first and second choices?
First and second. So really we have 316 TLDs split across effectively two unique TLDs per application. So really it's 158 applications that result in 316 strings. Okay. I mean, I'm not really going to, the ambiguous part we're going to keep for ourselves is which ones are primary, which ones are secondary.
Yeah. Sure.
But I can tell you effectively, if this was revealed, the plan would make a lot more sense for everybody. But also, so effectively I'm looking at the list. Okay, we want short ones, as short as possible. We should go heavy into the three letters because, each letter that you add on, this is effectively a tax on the actual domain holders that you're trying to provide a product for. So, yeah. So effectively I'm very conscious that this adds a lot. Every letter, like in other words, when we apply for TLDs with, very few exceptions, we pretty much always pick the singular version than the plural, just because, the S or whatever it is would be an additional tax on the users and their resulting domains. So we effectively looked at the data. We're like, okay, short is better, but what else has been selling? So I don't know if anybody really noticed it that much or not, but really e-commerce is one of the biggest drivers of the new TLD. So obviously the two big winners is that shop and that store. I mean, okay, let's get real. They're really good TLDs.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons. But at the same time, it also makes sense because obviously if somebody has something to sell, they're probably willing to buy the domain name, right? I mean, and also it's a brand. And, and I have a whole thing where effectively I'm really into effective accelerationism. I don't know if you know what it is. So effectively, it's like the opposite of effective altruism. So effective accelerationism is effectively we're just trying to compound and build and increase productivity as fast as possible. And hence, that's actually our only way for, first of all, to get away from the problems that we have with inflation, with bureaucracy, taxation, blah, blah, blah. But also, this is most likely the pathway for future abundance. So let's say from my own personal perspective, I think let's say maybe 3 decades from now, we're probably doing GDP per capita at least 1,000x of what it is now. And I think it looks like something like maybe
probably
next decade, maybe 7x, after that 10x, decade after that maybe 15x, something along those lines. And really, obviously, it's to do a lot with general tech, but, a lot of it also AI and robotics and whatever else is coming, because there's probably a lot more coming.
I would argue that the fundamental driver of all of that, the final bottleneck, the final boss that will allow that or not allow it, is energy. So if we don't...
If most likely will get solved. And then when it gets solved, that itself becomes abundant. So actually on the personal level, it's kind of hard to invest these days because everything almost is on the potential of being completely destroyed because, even natural resources. I mean, the moment we have robot miners and, we can catch asteroids and whatever, mine them. I mean, that's it. I mean, who cares about gold, silver, whatever. It's all done. And the problem is that it might not be that far away. So that's why it's very hard to invest in these things. And then, so personally, I would prefer to invest in either things that accelerate this process or invest in things that are provably scarce. So effectively, domains is one of them. But actually, even the namespace itself is another one. So actually, for me, investing in TLDs is actually, on a personal level, it's actually a way of diversifying the domain portfolio, so to speak. For me, meaning that, there's domains that I own the SLD part, there's domains that I own the TLD part. But the other part, on a kind of like almost like resulting basis from that, I feel like the final frontier for businesses, because the problem is that anything can now be copied, like recreated from scratch and so on, and probably on the compounding basis as well, that I think it's almost like the last frontier is the brand. Meaning that in a world where people have such high productivity and effectively really on a basic level, it really means they're earning more money. And let's say somebody really wants a Louis Vuitton bag, and you can either buy one from Louis Vuitton and after inflation, let's say it's maybe 50 grand, or you can buy an exact copy for $500. The problem is that the moment that you have unlimited resources or abundant resources, so in other words, it's almost like all value accrues to the brands at the end. And then if that's the case, domain names are really the internet's brands. I mean, there's just no other way to go about it.
Yes.
And not so really, brands are identities for companies and products and so on. So given that, like effectively, I'm looking at it, you know, that's why effectively a lot of the TLDs that we applied for are e-commerce ones, even though on face value, they may not seem like e-commerce. So for example, we have like .want. You know, like in other words, let's say, I don't know, it's like socks.want, you know, or whatever brand, or maybe more exact brand, because the reality is that, you know, like, you know, especially because maybe most of this data comes from kind of like my domain investor background, but the reality is that most people want like the same names. I mean, let's say something like Andrew.whatever. I mean, it makes sense because somebody's going to be Andrew. So in other words, it's not going to be Benjrew or whatever, like it's Andrew. So you just got to give them good enough options for them to make the call, especially like if it's something that they want to feel like it's theirs. So as a result, it really means that, okay, look, I'm not going to say that, you know, that want is as an e-commerce TLD is better than that shop. But shop, it already has like, I don't know, like about 5 million registrations. So that means that the availability is really thin. So in other words, I feel like, if you're offering them, let's say, direct name, let's say Andrew, and Andrew is a brand of, I don't know, electronics, it's not bad because Andrew.store and Andrew.shop are way gone. So that's really the approach. And we have a lot of them that, again, I think people don't really understand that those are epically e-commerce names. So we're talking about, let's say, TLDs like .stock. So there is obviously the stock market angle, but then there's also in-stock kind of angle. So we have a lot of those things and overstock. You know, like what'd you say?
I said overstock.
Like overstock stock also means effectively, to be honest, actually way beyond the stock market because it's actually all tickers. So anything that's a ticker, like let's say SOL.stock works. You know, like all of this. So we have a lot, most of our names, by the way, they seem very simplistic, but they're kind of like all encompassing. Because what we're doing is actually, if there is a lot more angles, there is a bigger aggregation of value in the specific TLD. So let's say we have that sat. So actually we got it for both satellite. So, you know, lots of companies are actually using it as a suffix, like something sat, but also because in the future, there's going to be a lot more satellites, but also it's for Satoshi. So potentially a crypto angle.
Yeah.
You know, and we have lots of stuff like this. Like for example, we have .raw. So obviously, you know, you have the health angle, you have kind of like uncensored speech angle, like meaning like just free speech. And then at the same time, you also have even the natural resources angle, because in my opinion, the amount, like you're going to be like, this is going to be a huge category the moment that robots do all the capturing of natural resources out there. So this is going to be something that you can buy online very easily. And you're probably not even going to be buying it. You are like agent or whatever is going to be buying.
Yeah.
So, you know, so there's lots of stuff like this. I mean, even let's say something like that start. I mean, the point is that this is a call to action. So we have a lot of call to action strings, but it's also short for startup. So in other words, if something is a startup, you can just say that, but we specifically didn't go for that startup because I think it's a little bit too on the nose. And again, it's two words. It's just anything that's not as clean, we kind of walked away from. And some of them, I mean, I think people don't even know, like, for example, like we have .pos, and obviously we also have POW, meaning proof of work, proof of stake, but POS is also point of sale. So this is another one that we're kind of using almost like .cart. to, you know, to effectively have an angle for e-commerce, because I think e-commerce, the way you reach productivity is really through commerce. So there's actually going to be...
Can I reserve right now? Can I reserve AnthonyFauci.pos?
That's for a whole different angle. That's the piece of shit angle, right? Is that true?
Yes. So that's another use case. But there's lots of other things. Like, for example, here's an interesting one. So we went for that thing. Okay. So effectively, no, obviously robotics is kind of like one of our angles. So we kind of went for that thing because it's an inanimate object, but really the main angle for that thing is actually not even that. So effectively obviously there's the whole Internet of Things. So, but the problem is that people are looking at domains in a bizarre way, like the same way that somebody wants to, let's say, go for the angle of privacy. That privacy is not the TLD. Privacy is the subject. So in other words, that IoT, first of all, it's not possible, by the way, that IoT, because it's the British Indian Ocean Territory. So this is the equivalent, the three-letter equivalent of that .io. Ah. So, I mean, if it was possible, we would apply for it as well. But then we're like, actually, that thing actually works better because for every IoT, it's actually an individual thing that you want to have a domain name.
Yes.
So all of these things were really very well thought out, I would say, from multiple angles. The hardest part is actually not even thinking of them, but weighing them compared to each other when we're making the choice. Because effectively, at some point, we have to have a cutoff point as to how many applications we go for.
Yeah.
And a lot of it has to do with us not wanting to too much, but at the same time, we just also don't know what the competition is going to be like. Like, in other words, there's a bunch of strings that we didn't apply for, like, that just didn't make the cut. Like, that journal, that summit, that try, that about, you know, that evil, that pin, that currency, I mean, that identity. You know, like, these are kind of like okay ones, just not good enough to make the cut effectively. And this was the hardest part, because we're trying to weigh almost like this future market cap of those TLDs in terms of how much revenue they can bring to us versus potential competition versus, you know, some things just have additional difficulties. Like, for example, you know, somebody probably for that RWA. So, you know, real world assets.
Yeah.
But technically, in the same flavor as MCP, that's actually a TLD I don't like so much. The reason being is because it's very narrow, meaning like the moment that goes away, that you have nothing else. But the real reason is actually all these, the other thing about all these TLDs that are successful from last round, it took a really long time. Like, some of them, it takes a decade to get any visibility, which means, like, you know, I'm fine with it because I'm in it for like pretty much at least 2 decades. This is kind of like, you know, the thing I was really looking forward to. But the reality is that the TLD itself has to survive.
Yeah.
Like, it's just some of these things no longer make sense. So especially things that haven't been almost like tested over time, like MCP, RWA, 5 years from now, those could be non-existent. And that's only when you're supposed to get traction. So it's kind of tough to do it. So that's why we always want strings that are almost like got multiple angles and are as generic as possible. So maybe even if the thing goes away, something else can capture it. So for example, with RWA, they're not a little bit funny because we're like, okay, let's not go for RWA. Why don't we go for that assets instead? Okay, so then we're like, okay, yeah, maybe we'll go for that assets. But then we're like, okay, but actually the companies that carry assets are calling themselves something assets, but the actual asset, you want to be able to, for one asset to have its own domain name, because that means more registrations. But then we're like, asset or assets. And by the way, you know, I mean, to be fair, I'm not 100% sure, but based on how you read the ICANN guidebook, is that it's not possible for one entity to actually apply for both TLDs, because you're going to be in contention with yourself. This is a bizarre position. Like, so in other words, you can't apply for asset and assets. I mean, you could, but this creates a whole other problem. So they were like, well, maybe we should just, like, we're not even sure what's better, you know, kind of like both are okay, but So then we ended up applying for none of them, actually. But, you know, another one we were considering is that ASS, because we're like, hey, you know, that will capture both at the same time. But then you enter a whole other potential problem where, you know, like now somebody's going to argue that, oh, maybe you're trying to use it. It's almost like that sucks, but for people.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of like, and then also there is the adult angle. Like, it just, some of these ones just get a little bit too messy. I mean, this also, we also were, originally we were going to apply for that shit. But then we're like, ah, you know, like, we don't want, you know, to just like, you know, people to kind of, you know, put us down because of it. Like, it's just like, there's a lot of other kind of considerations at play. So a lot of them we had to pass on. But I mean, we have a bunch of actually really good TLDs that we, I wish we could apply for that were actually more complicated. So now we wanted to apply for that West, but it wasn't actually possible because that West is, has its own, it's its own, like the ISO code of an area in Cameroon, I believe. Ah. So as a result, unless you get permission from the government, you're going to get stuck in like a battle there for perpetuity. Yeah. So it wasn't worth it, even though I really liked it for kind of Western civilization angle. You know, another one I like that we didn't apply for is like that I ever know, like, you know, literally it's kind of almost like obviously in real life, meaning like, I feel like IRL. It's almost like originally online, you had to specify something online, but now by default, everything is online. So you almost need to specify when it's not online.
Yeah.
And it's like, say, a physical place, like a coffee shop. So I thought URL was kind of like a funny one where it's like kind of like URL, but not. But that one is not possible because that's the country code of Ireland.
Ireland, yeah.
Well, Republic of Ireland. Right. And other ones are also complicated. Like, we were also going to apply for that DNS, but then it's kind of like potentially some, you know, security risks and like technical risks and similar end. But at the end, the advice that we were given is to stay away from that one. I would have loved that one as well because I feel like that's just the way that things settle in both, yeah, for both payments and e-commerce. Yeah. And so,
Yeah, just the whole stablecoin industry alone. I mean, I think that we're headed back to,
just stablecoin and even.
Go ahead.
No, yeah, stablecoin is just payments in general. I mean, it could be like a bill collection thing. It could be a checkout thing. I mean, there's just so many options. I think it just depends on kind of on the exact nuance of the situation and the risks that are taken into account. And then, you know, and then on top of this, there's obviously the TLDs that are relatively successful that actually charge a lot of money for registrations because the customers are not so price sensitive. And usually they're actually suffixes that match the exact company names. You know, so we have a lot of those, you know, things like that protocol we applied for. That's actually interesting because actually the suffix is way stronger for the plural than many, many TLDs. You know, in many SLD, but it's not powerful enough because we want each individual product to have its own page. So I think actually on a TLD basis, that one works better singular. Now, there's actually like, I think the only exception for us when we pick the plural compared to the singular is actually that labs. So that labs becomes somewhat oddly very, very strong compared to singular, because again, we're not talking about labs that are, you know, drawing blood and stuff. These are actually research facilities of AI companies, crypto companies, just
it's a very common nomenclature.
Very,
whatever, XYZ labs.
Tech, and they all call themselves lab. Everyone calls themselves plural labs.
Yeah.
So effectively, it's almost like another way of calling yourself like something research these days. And so that's maybe, I think, the only exception that was kind of like we picked the plural compared to the singular. But really, there's all these angles were taken into account. And then we really just worked on the perpetual elimination process. So just like kind of like removing ones that didn't work. And, you know, and we kind of also, we ended up with a lot of different ones that I think are interesting. Like, let's say that soft specifically for software, obviously. And then we also applied for that hard, kind of like to counter it for hardware. And similarly, on another angle, actually, for like we applied for that bit because, you know, like what we're doing right now, it's really kind of like we're moving bits around. But as a result, we also applied for that atom, you know, because the other aspect of it is moving atoms around. And there's other aspects to it too, because we also wanted some TLT that was kind of going to touch nuclear energy, for example, but we couldn't find a right TLD for it, you know, because, you know, if you go that fusion, that fission, that nuclear, it's all kind of like, it's not right. And there aren't enough customers for it, for that angle. So as a result, we're like, hey, you know, that atom would actually cover that as well.
Did you also be that
ion? Harder thing, almost like aggregate.
What did you say, Jeff?
We also applied for that ion. So also, that ion.
That's cool.
Yeah, we applied for that ion. So that ion is actually a unique one as well, because that one we applying, because first of all, again, once you go three letters for and that to be award, it's already, you're playing with like 100 options, really.
Yeah.
But so that one, I think, is a really good one. At the same time, and obviously, you know, small and so on, it's very positive for companies to name themselves that. But at the same time, it's also effectively the best possible TLD for domain hacks. You know, we're talking about position, destination, distribution. So effectively, it's actually more popular than the ING version, which is what I believe Google applied for originally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. So quick question. So now, you know, you've got these primary and secondary strings as all part of your applications. The timing, so if you pull the plug, you had a certain amount of time from the closing of the application to basically pull the plug and say, we're not going to pay, right? And then that would have effectively had canceled the string. Now you have an opportunity to cancel before reveal date, where you get a certain amount of money back. Or when do you have to decide between primary versus secondary? Do you do that after reveal? Like what is the next step there?
There's no capacity to not pay ICANN upon submitting the application. So there was like effectively by doing that, you're actually a default. So but it's not an option to just not pay in that, because otherwise this will just give people an incentive to submit a limited number of applications for really an option for a week, free option. So that wasn't the case. You had to pay no matter what. But effectively, whenever the reveal happens, and you know, to be honest, we don't really know what the reveal is going to happen. Sure. There is different kind of information out there, but really we're betting on likely early October. Yeah. And then I believe they give you a period of 2 weeks to make the decision. And once that decision is made, meaning that decision between, you really have three options. You either pick option one, option B, or you back out completely and you get a refund of some of the
right. It's like half or something like that.
Well, it's like 65% you get back, I believe, something like that. But
stage at different stages, you get back different percentages.
Yep.
Yes. But I think that one is the biggest one at that point in time. And after that, obviously, as you get closer, it gets reduced.
Okay, so then so the reveal will happen. What'll be interesting, do you see a scenario where you have, you know, you're one and two, and one of them might be contested and one might not, but you still decide to go to the auction versus just taking the uncontested one?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's not so black and white, because a lot of the ones that we applied for, we anticipated heavy contention for. So if we have some contention, but it's not as heavy as we anticipated, frankly, the expected value of that TLD is higher for us than otherwise.
Sure.
You know, so that's why, to some extent, we missed out on these ones that everyone said they're going to go for.
Yeah.
Crypto agent and wallet. But at the same time, we didn't miss the other ones. Like, to some extent, we didn't care really what the contention is going to be. At minimum, we wanted to see what it was going to be. So really, it's almost like the application fee was to anti-app to see what the reveal is. And then by those ones, I'm talking about like .hub, API, BTC. I mean, some of them,
I think Doc Cap is a sleeper. I think Doc Cap is going to be a banger.
Yeah, so we're going for capitalism, obviously, with that cap.
Yeah, or capital.
And cap, I think this
cap,
is,
capital.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, exactly.
Capitalism.
But really, it's more, we're kind of going for it as the, almost like the TLD for capitalists and capitalism.
Yeah.
So in other words, it's both kind of like an e-commerce TLD, but really it's people who have almost like a certain ideology in their approach. So effectively, I mean, to be fair, this has to do with the accelerationism that I'm kind of, yeah, you know, talking about. But this also, even the accelerationism, so in other words, we also have that ACC. So if you have ever seen this effective accelerationism, really people usually either type E.ACC or E/ACC. And so really we applied for ACC, but also even ACC, you know, it can, because these letters are so common as part of prefixes of other words or even suffixes in some case, you know, ACC also works as an account, accounting. So actually we're trying for people to pick their own meaning out of the TLDs, because to be honest, we're not exactly sure what's going to work. You know, like we're going for what we think is going to work, but that's not necessarily the case. So pretty much, you know, this is kind of what we're going for. And I think, I mean, based on what I've seen so far, it's relatively different than what everybody's been doing, because everybody's just kind of been looking at it as like, oh, do I like this TLD or not? But like, I think it's just not good enough. I think it has to be like, okay, you like it, fine. Find 10,000 names that are going to be resulting from this TLD that people want to buy. No, I think that's like a minimum. This is the minimum that's required here.
That's what I was, one of the numbers I was wondering about is like, what do you think is the minimum viable number of SLDs to make a string, let's say, viable?
So, I mean, in terms of what's the minimally viable one, I would say it can be quite low. So we have, let's say, some TLDs like that protocol. I mean, I'm not sure, looking at the data of registrations at this moment, effectively you have maybe 25,000 or something like that, SLD combinations that, you know, like something protocol.com.net, whatever. So, you know, like I'm not sure what that means in terms of registrations. I mean, maybe 5,000 registrations. But, yeah, you know, those ones you can sell for like $100 a pop. Because when it's a protocol, even when it's something like as simple as like the email protocol, meaning like mail.protocol, email.protocol. I mean, these are valuable domains that result from that TLD. And hence, this is what we actually care about. We care about the users to be getting enough value, because this is who we're doing it for. This is actually why we called ourselves like the Link Freedom Group, because we're effectively trying to give the people what they want. Because I feel like it's been like just completely not really following that strategy. I mean, some people hit that strategy, to be honest, again, like, you know, that shop, and frankly, even the guy did an amazing job with XYZ and so on. But just compared to the number of the TLDs that got even delegated, mm-hmm, this is, it's not good.
I mean, it's crazy. You still have some that haven't been delegated yet or being delegated like this week, or even like, and then obviously ones like .web and other ones that had a lot of sort of things involved that, you know, kind of extended the timeline. So kind of to your point, you know, you have to really have a sense or a feel for, you know, we talk about using a sports reference, but like a quarterback, you throw the ball to where the receiver is going to be. You don't throw it to where he's currently standing. So it's like trying to get a little bit ahead of the game to have a sense of where things are trending towards, because like you said, and you know, somebody posted, I saw this, and maybe it was Ender from D3 who has the namedesk.app, which I really dig a lot. And you know, he's been tracking a lot of the applications that have been publicized, and you know, was talking about, you know, the earliest that we'll see these start to be delegated, what, Q2 of next year, you know, maybe then, you know, a lot more into 20,000, 28, you know, end of 27, into 2028. I mean, and that's in like the best case scenario, right? Of when you're going to start to see these names being you know, registered. So,
well, you're going to be in it for the long haul, because I mean, this is just honestly too complicated to kind of enter just to play around and maybe try to arbitrage something here, because it's just, I mean, you know, once I open that Pandora's box of what's inside running a registry, I mean, it's kind of like domains, but just way slower, way more complicated, way more regulated, way more expensive in every possible way. So it's just, unless you're willing to commit to it, it's not worth it. And obviously, one of the reasons we're also going for so many TLDs is because most of these costs are in the form of overhead. So the moment that you have 5 TLDs or 50, you can pretty much have the same number of people run them, especially with the current tools and,
sure,
you know, AI and whatever else. You know, like, it's just kind of, it makes more sense now. And I think, so in other words, like, you know, my strategy is not really kind of like going slow and seeing what happens. I can pretty much tell what's going to happen here. But so my strategy is actually more to capture all the TLDs that we want as soon as possible, and also to kind of like have a variety of strategies. You know, some entities just went for crypto names. Some went for a variety of different things. We're literally trying to do multiple different corners. So we have long tail, we have generic, we have like ones that have multiple angles. You know, like, we're just trying to actually just throw it out there. And then we even have ones that we feel like we're going to get without contention, ones that we have medium contention on, low contention, high contention. So we're pretty much in all of these. And all we're really doing is we're just technically taking it step by step and optimizing our game theory accordingly.
Yeah, well, I love the whole game theory aspect. That's one of the things that I think for me just has been really exciting, and why I love talking about this stuff, and why we keep doing, you know, doing multiple episodes based on this, is that it's just, you know, the strategy and the game theory around how these have been applied for, how they're going to be contended, then how they're ultimately going to be rolled out, and in some cases, how they're going to be marketed. And I think this is an important point that you made, which is why we didn't get involved and ultimately decided not to apply for a string. If you're going to run a string as a registry, you have to have, like, you have to be in it to win it, and you have to have a plan, right? And be willing to commit and be committed. But the one thing that I think is really interesting, and we talked about this with Vaughn and with Dan, is that, but the one thing that, and this really came to light, I think, publicly when Telegram applied for .gram, is that if you have a business that has a customer base that can really, like, you know, use a, you know, an actual domain name as opposed to, you know, a username or simply an account, well, now you've got sort of this different end user approach to strings, which I think introduces an entirely different thing that for this next wave becomes really, really interesting, really important. And to your point, with AI and with the way that now, the first time around, it was like, all right, you had to have some sense of how the back end works, right? You have to have some sense of how, you know, do you need a tech team? Do you need customer
really
support?
Donnie pushed out with .link. I mean, it was really a completely different approach to how do you onboard customers to a TLD. It's not just, oh, I need to go through registrar path that, you know, people are coming looking for a string, and so this is one of their choices. There's these community-based approaches or specific business application approaches where you can onboard a whole community because of, you know, in the case of Telegram, it's, you know, handles. Or in the case of, you know, .link, for example, it's, you know, URL shorteners and you know, link in bios. There's these various approaches to onboard entirely new customer bases to a single TLD.
It's customer bases.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I think, the most important part, because right now we're effectively, in my opinion, at least, I mean, and this is obviously Vaughn's opinion as well, the reason we're even, you know, the way that we are approaching that link registry is that the domains are actually marketed in an incorrect way. Like, right now, people are actually, the registrars are almost like, it's called like a auto parts wholesaler. And they're like, oh, if you want a muffler, here, buy it here. But then, like, nobody knows how to connect this muffler. Nobody even knows what a muffler is or why they need it, but it needs to be there. The correct delivery method is giving it to people as part of a new car. They don't need to know that it's there. They don't need to know how it works. They just need to get it, because without it, first of all, I mean, you know, like, my own personal perspective is that you must have sovereignty online. And the only possible way to do it is via the domain name channel. And again, I think Web3 domains are kind of like got extrapolated too far into the future without actually realizing what's happening with the, it's not even Web2 names, it's Web1 names, and that they're actually doing an amazing job. Like, all these people that get banned on, like, Instagram, whatever, nobody gets banned for for these reasons from their domain name. They still get their domain name, nothing happens. Yeah. So similarly, let's say everybody uses it like a free email address. The problem is that, let's say even something like Gmail, and again, nothing about Gmail, great service and so on. But the real problem is that they own the address. So it's kind of like relying on the hotel to take calls for you. This is all a giant favor they're doing you. You know, like you don't own the phone number of your room. They're just forwarding to you as a service, really. The moment that you say, I don't want this service, or they tell you can't have this service, or they tell you must pay 10x for the service, there is nothing you can do because they own it.
Yeah.
And the regulations come into play. It doesn't matter because they own the domain name. So actually, on the Telegram side, by the way, I think at that point we already either submitted applications or were in the process of submitting them. I was very suspicious that Telegram might actually apply for that grant because they changed the cryptocurrency of theirs from what was it before?
From TON.
From TON to grant. And then I was like, you know what? It could be because they realized they can't apply for that TON. So a three-letter country called the country of Tonga. So then I was thinking, like, maybe they're renaming the whole blockchain just to be able to get the prospective domain names. That was like, no way. I bet they don't even care. And then, you know, like, so in other words, not based on how it played out, I think there's a higher chance of that happening. But again, I think it all comes down to the sovereignty. And the other part, but based on kind of like our process with that link, what people don't understand is that, so let's say something like Linktree, where effectively they use .ee as their domain name. So it's linktr.ee/whatever username. Now, the problem is that, first of all, EE is Estonia, is it, right?
Estonia.
So effectively, what it really means is that they're within Estonia's jurisdiction. So, and especially for country codes, it's extra stupid because Estonia can be like, you know what? Anybody who sends too much traffic, it's going to be $5 million a year to renew them, say.
Yeah.
They can do whatever they want. It can be like 500 million. It's completely at their discretion. So, it's almost like, so why are these tech companies, and I mean, even the same problem, frankly, with that AI, again, these giant multiples when their actual business is dependent on a third party country, very often, by the way, third world country, like people love to use that. So, you know, Somalia. You know, very stupid, in my opinion. So that's one problem. But the other problem is that, and that's not even country codes, that's domain names in general, enforcement happens on a domain level. That means that, effectively, whoever, let's say, Linktree, let's say somebody puts some bad content, let's say it's porn or somebody using it for fraud or whatever. The problem is that the only enforcement mechanism the country of Estonia has is to shut down the domain name. Otherwise, they're just, you know, asking favors from Linktree to follow through with the enforcement. And again, and the enforcement could be based on local Estonian rules. So let's say you're, let's say you're located in Canada, you have a Linktree page. So you effectively have to abide by Canadian rules because you live there. You have to abide by Australian rules because that's where Linktree is located. And for some reason, you also have to abide by Estonian rules. And really, it's really the worst rules out of those three. That's what you're abiding by.
Yeah.
Really, really bad. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So effectively, this is the structure that they chose. But the problem is that the same is true, actually, for even if you use GTLPs. Because, again, the enforcement level is the domain name. So what it really means is that the best and the highest paying user on your platform is taking the risks of the lowest, worst users of your platform without even realizing. They might be even paying like tons of money for it. In my opinion, this is very, very bad practice. So in other words, Telegram has discovered it with T.me. I don't know if you're aware of what happened, but
shut it down.
To some extent, it doesn't even matter the reason or how they managed to trick them or whatever, because these are going to continue to happen and there is nothing you can do about it unless you give each user their own domain name and then enforcement happens on their domain name. So when it gets shut down, none of the other users are even aware of this.
Yeah.
And I think the reality is that most likely Pavel kind of figured it out, and this is why he decided to approach domains more aggressively. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, but I don't have any information. Yeah, we applied for Gram for our own reasons, because obviously it's a very, very popular suffix. Obviously, Instagram, Telegram, but MoneyGram. I mean, but there's a lot of small ones as well. You know, so that's kind of our perspective on it. But I think long term, especially as sovereignty online becomes more important, I think there's going to be more entities that start to understand this.
Yep. Oh, and 100%. And then, yeah, and that's where it's all about freedom. You know what I'm saying? They could take our lives, but they can't take our freedom, baby.
Media Options is the industry's leading domain broker specializing in domain acquisitions, high-value domain sales, and domain name consultation. As pioneers and thought leaders on the subject of the domain aftermarket and domain name value, plus through their clear domain acquisition service, Media Options offers startups and established corporations an unparalleled scope of high-value domain options, providing access to domain names and curation technologies not available elsewhere. Media Options believes in the power of a great domain name and is dedicated to helping you obtain yours. Call or email today to put a domain to work for you.
But even in terms of communication, let's say if I have my own domain name and Andrew has his own domain name, we can communicate to each other directly via email.
Yeah.
Now, if Andrew has a Gmail, then actually we're actually relying on this third party Gmail to deliver this email to Andrew. And, you know, maybe Andrew said the wrong word on domain Sherpa. So now it's banned. Maybe Andrew, you know, it's enough of him freeloading on Gmail for 20 years. Now he needs to pay $500 a month. These are all possibilities unless you have your own domain name. And in fact, this domain name can have, actually, Gmail could power the service for him under that domain name. But what happens is that if Gmail decides to, you know, charge more or tell you to, you know, to F off, for example, nothing happens because the services are marginally better, you know, compared to each other. But nothing happens because everyone still has your same email address. Everybody still knows how to reach you. And hence, you retain your sovereignty. And again, if we both power our own email service, like me myself and Andrew himself, that actually it's P2P communication. And effectively, you also have additional elements of benefit. Effectively, you get your own sovereignty via ICANN, which is, you know, like ironically, because it's, you know, it's a big bureaucracy, very inefficient. But, you know, to be honest, this inefficiency is also a feature that I think people don't really understand. You don't want them to do many changes. You want them to keep things as they are, because that gives certainty to the people who are using the system.
Yep. 100%. So, and that's why it's important. All right. Well, we're only got about 3 more minutes and then we're going to be up on time. So, flown by. No, it's great, man. This is what's up, you know. And hey, look, there's always come back on the show and we can talk more, man. It's all good stuff. So, but with that, so we got a couple of minutes, so I just kind of want to, you know, as we start to wind down, so then I guess it's next steps for you guys, right? So, you know, it's obviously applications are in. You know, we're waiting to see how many more get announced in between now and reveal day, which should be sometime in early to mid October. And then once that happens, then obviously, you know, there's even more strategy and gamesmanship and decisions and other things. So what do you do between now for the next month and a half, 2 months while you're waiting on reveal day?
So, I mean, so the reason we also, well, one of the reasons we announced is also to be able to get feedback on a lot of the TLDs. So effectively we're getting a lot of like, oh, I love this. Oh, I hate this. And the reality is that because we're effectively picking at best case half of the TLDs we applied for, we want this feedback. I don't know why nobody else wants this feedback. I don't know what they think is going to happen magically, you know, until that point, but really, especially, you know, like, you know, we even have other registries that contact us who are like, we should have applied for that one. We didn't think it through. So for us, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, which one? Okay, plus one to that one. So we like that one more.
Yeah, for sure.
The only thing I can think of is that some of the registries are like holding back because they don't want people to say, okay, I know I'm in contention with a major player. Let me go raise capital so that I can, you know, compete. I don't know. I can't think of any other reason why they wouldn't. No,
look, I mean, what I would say is that I think the reality is that this is a very risk-averse industry. Effectively, to some extent, it itself operates as a bureaucracy, just because it's been so stagnant and it's the same players over time. So I think that the real reason people aren't doing it is because the status quo is the game plan. So yeah. In other words, and I can see that because the moment that we announced, we have people who, a bunch of people just after that announced, some websites, some domains of websites got registered the day of our announcement, meaning that it was obviously to counter our announcement. And some of them announced in such a way that they only revealed whichever ones we already revealed. So, I mean, to me, it just means that, you know, all eyes are on LFG, which is, it's fine for us. But also, I'm not, to be fair, I'm also not putting a lot of weight on what other people are doing or thinking, because they obviously have turned to be extremely unreliable. So to me, you know, on a personal level, I'm a very, very big believer of following through on what you say you're going to do. I mean, not even just like on a business level, just like as part of being a man. I don't know. This is just something you have to do, because otherwise, what are you going to have if you're not going to do what you're going to do? So
say you're going to do, you're worthless.
Exactly. So as a result, it's a win-win for me. I'm going to do it anyways. And in fact, I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm going to do. And, you know, like this is, and so effectively right now we're obviously evaluating a lot of, because we have a lot of inquiries on a lot of TLDs, some from registry, some from effectively, you know, biz dev opportunities. And we're effectively making decisions for each one. And then, you know, whenever we have the time in October to make a final decision, all of them will make it. And then, you know, we're just going to go for it. To some extent, I don't really care who's really participating, because even the big players with all these piles of money, apparently, you know, they can't afford $227,000. So this is very, I'm extremely non-concerned.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm unbothered and content. And, you know, it's like that meme of the dude sitting in the fountain and he's just got the water like sitting in the rocks in the grotto.
And you know what? To be fair, I'm not planning to win all of it. I mean, this is, we're literally going for volume because we're anticipating an expected result here of some of that volume. And all we're trying to do is we're trying to optimize for the most volume with the same amount of capital. But to be fair, this is not kind of like a side business for me. This is the main thing I was optimizing for. And I had, and really last round, I mean, this would have been too early for me because, it was a little bit too technical for me back then, both in terms of my own knowledge, but also in terms of, there were no kind of like services, plug and play ones. And now there are, and now there's lots of options, and I have a lot more experience. And, you know, like, and especially actually from my, domain investor experience. So I have a lot of experience with SLD part. So I know exactly how to price everything. This is already like on the radar to literally optimize the results for the business. So we're very comfortable where we are, I think.
Love it, man. No, it's good, as you should be. You guys have put a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of, very, very deliberate. I've known you for a long time, man. You are one of the most analytical people that I know, right? So when it comes to doing shit, you go get it and do it, and every step is very well, it's plotted, it's deliberate, and you follow through, man. That's what it's about, dude. And Vaughn said the same thing. He said, yeah, and that's what Vaughn said on the show last week. He said one of the tenets that we live by is we do what we say we're going to do. And like you said, just as a man, as a human being, right, doing that is going to help you achieve a lot more in life than, you know, there's a lot of talk. It's all, it's all about the action. You know what I mean? And
so to be fair, this is kind of the brand that I've built personally. I mean, even as a domain investor, there is never, I've done like, I don't know how many deals, like thousands, maybe tens of thousands. Most of them were without contract. Like, I mean, I just like, there's no way we'll have a handshake deal with somebody and not deliver, let's say.
100%. It doesn't matter if next deal is double. This is the reason, primary reason for our success is we do what we say we're going to do. If I tell you I'm going to buy a name and I tell you I'm going to pay on whatever date, I'm going to pay you on that date or before. I don't care if we have a contract. The contract, for me, it's a formality.
Yeah.
If I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. If I say I'm going to pay you, I'm going to pay you. And I expect the same from the person I'm dealing with. Always.
That's it. But that's stand-up shit that, carries well beyond, even just the domains, it's life in general. So that's some life lessons for all y'all out there. LFG. All right. Well, look, that's what it is, man. Look, this is great having you on the show. It's been a minute, so let's not let that much time pass between now and the next one. But this was great. And I think it's great for the audience. Drew, thank you so much for being here. As always, appreciate that, your time and your dedication to it as a co-host today. And yeah, Yoni, man, thank you so much for being here. And to the audience, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We say it on every show. Without you, there is no us. So, but you know, hit us up. Look, with this new wave happening, this new round, you know, the LFG guys are not hard to find. And obviously here with Domain Sherpa and Media Options, we're not hard to find either. So the good, the bad, the ugly, hit us up. And yeah, and that's what it is. So anything else before
LFG.
We go?
LFG.link.
LFG, baby.
LFG. All right, guys. We'll see everybody next time here on Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. LFG.
See y'all soon. Peace out.